Blog Talk Radio.
Beautiful day on the East Coast here. Thank God, right? I mean, John, I don't know about the weather by you, but in Jersey, it's absolutely gorgeous today. Welcome, everybody, to Applause Radio Show for a special that we have for you today. We don't usually air during the day, but our guest, Caroline Ellis, from the show from way back on our Saturday mornings, the Sid and Marty Krofft series, The Bugaloos, is to join us. I was supposed to reach her. Unfortunately, I can't get through. She's in Spain. So I'm hoping she calls in. If not, we may have to end the show early. But anyway, I want to say thank you to our sponsors. We have the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey. Excellent food, delicious drinks. KWV Wines, best wine you could get. Very inexpensive and tastes like $1 million. It's delicious. And Catskill Provisions, they make syrup, and they actually have a syrup-infused whiskey. I haven't tried that, but I'm not a whiskey drinker. So, but anyway, The Bugaloos was a show that Sid and Marty Krofft, the Krofft brothers, had put together on Saturday mornings way back in the day. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are our age. And know that on Saturday mornings, that was the only time we had cartoons or shows for us. So they're the creators of, oh my God, H.R. Puffin Stuff, The Bugaloos, Land of the Lost, Sigmund, the Freed Monster, Sea Monster, Dr. Shrinker, Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. I mean, the list goes on. Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. They also did a lot of variety shows at night. They were behind The Brady Bunch Hour, Donnie and Marie. I don't remember, John, do you remember the Bigfoot and Wild Boy show?
No, I don't, Joanne. That was
John.
Before my time.
Get out of here. I know you're going to tell everybody you're younger than me. Get out of here. So Sid and Marty Krofft, they were behind a lot of things. I'm curious to know if they're still around. I was going to ask Caroline if she knew what was up with them. So, Caroline, give us a call, please. So, how are you today, John? Everything going well?
Good. Everything's going good. We're enjoying the nice warm weather out here in Pennsylvania. It's very nice outside. We've got a lot of wind, though. I wish the wind would die down, but other than that, it's beautiful outside.
Yeah, windy here, too. It's crazy. Crazy, but it feels good.
So Who's coming up on our next shows, Joanne? Maybe you could tell people who we'll be having.
Well, Wednesday is kind of up in the air. I had surgery recently, and I'm not sure if I can make this show, but a very good friend of mine may cover it for me. We're going to do like a live broadcast for a Gloria Gaynor interview from the Grammy Museum. If he can make it for me, if he could cover it. If not, we'll get somebody in. Don't worry. Everybody wants to be on the show, so we'll get them in. They're coming. Trust me, they're coming. So I don't know offhand who is definitely booked at the moment, but I can share that with you shortly, but not today. So today's show is being done from my bedroom. I'm in my bed, so this is like a John and Yoko, but it's a John and JoJo thing going on out of the bed. So, but John's in a different bed right, John? But make sure you tell Alice that. So
I'm in a hospital bed.
Yes, yeah, so you'll wind up in the hospital bed, exactly. So I just sent a message out to Caroline asking her to call us. I'm hoping she does, but until then, we have here, if anybody's interested, we're giving away a copy of the book, A Gift of the Heart. It's from the author Andrew Heller. He was on our show last week. It's a touching story about two childhood friends, and one's from an affluent background and one is from a not-so-affluent background. And one gets sick, obviously, and their lives change forever. So it's also going to be a movie as well. But we do have a book here to give away if anybody's interested. We actually have two to give away, and I believe we're getting product from Catskill Provisions as well that we could start giving away to our callers when they give us a call. So how's your movie going, John? Your new movie.
It's,
you want to talk about
well,
it?
We haven't started it yet, but it's based around a true story. Last January, we were just looking around in some antique shops out here in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And we came across this really old Ouija board. The proprietor of the shop said it must have been at least 150, 200 years old, you know, if you believe that. But it looked
wow.
in really good shape. You know,
yeah.
So he kind of knows me and knows I'm into all this stuff of the movie making. And he said, you know, why don't you take it? You know, I said, well, can I pay you? He goes, no, just take it. So I took it home.
I think he wanted
he wanted
it off the stand.
He wanted to get
haunted?
Rid of the damn thing.
Yeah, is it haunted?
Well, what we did was I did some research. I went back to him. I said, you know, where did you get this from? And it turns out it's from an estate of a guy in York, Pennsylvania. And it's a horrible story about a man who was murdered in the 1800s. He was accused of witchcraft. And people set his house on fire and killed him because they thought he put a spell on these two guys. Okay, you know, their crops died, their cows stopped giving milk. You know, and they believed anything like that would happen would be a curse.
Right.
So they went to his house, tried to find the spell book, and they didn't find the spell book, but they found him. They set him on fire and set the house on fire.
Wow.
So it turns out that the Ouija board may be from his estate. Okay.
Really?
And it was sold to another antique dealer in New York, Pennsylvania at the time. I think in the 1970s it was transferred to them. And then when that store went out of business, it was sold in a lot to this a guy right by me in Pennsylvania. And
what
he came across
like,
it. So I just,
what's it look like?
It looks like
is it real
well,
wood?
It's an old piece of wood, okay?
Uh-huh.
And it looks like they actually drew with some kind of pencil or some, you know, painted it on the numbers and the symbols and everything. So it is, but it's in very good shape. Okay, so what we did was we did some experiments with it. I put, you guys know the Nest Cam. It's like a security camera.
Yeah.
So I had the Nest Cam, and I just put the Ouija board, and I put a shot glass on top of the Ouija board, and I set up the Nest Cam, to see if anything would happen with it, and we got video of the glass moving by itself on the board.
Oh my God!
Very, very, very quick. A very, very quick movement. It just moved maybe it's like 2 seconds, 3 seconds worth of it moving, and I posted it up on Facebook and everything. And I was getting calls from people saying, no, you got to get rid of it. You got to destroy it. I got calls from people saying, don't destroy it. You'll release all the horrible spirits. And people saying, you got to throw it away. Get rid of it. So what I did was, I threw it in my garbage can, put it at the end of my driveway, and then hoping that it would be gone when I got home. Instead, I see the Ouija board on top of the garbage can with a note from Jimmy, our garbage man, saying he doesn't want this on his effing truck. So I got stuck with the Ouija board again.
So what I did after that is I go, well, let me see. I'm going to set up another camera. And this time I set it up in the basement. And I had the camera running all night long. And at one point, you see these orbs coming out of the shot glass, going up in the air. And then you have another video of the orbs going into the shot glass, forming some kind of, it looks like some kind of nebulous thing or whatever. It formed, and then it disappeared. And that was the end of it. And I haven't set the camera on it again. But the movie is based on the life of this guy who had the Ouija board. And it turns out that in my story, it's going to be possessed by a witch. And the witch is going to, the witch's evil spirit is going to be released when they find the Ouija board tied around her body when they do the excavation of a new house. And it just, it's kind of like, you know, The Exorcist meets the Amityville Horror type thing. So it's going to be rated PG so we can get out to more stores and get it onto Amazon Prime.
Well, I don't know if you guys know, but if you guys like horror, John is like a great movie director of horror. What was the last film? I always say the wrong words. I call it Bloodbath, and it's not. It's what is it?
It's called Bigfoot Blood Trap.
Blood Trap.
Yes,
right.
And it's based on a real story about a brother and sister who were in Russia. And they had a team of people going out into the woods to search for something, you know, probably the creature. And their whole party was attacked. And it was on recently. It was on, I think, the Discovery Channel. We were watching it. It's roughly based on that story. But in my story, the brother and sister capture the Bigfoot, take it back home, and then they get contacted by this mad scientist who says he'd like to do a 9-month experiment on it before they go public and see what happens.
Nine months. I wonder what that means.
Well, I'll give you a little hint there. That they try to breed it with a human female because he wants to see if the genome is the same as the Neanderthal or the Cro-Magnon.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting.
Yeah, well, they can get it on Amazon.com. They can download it and watch a pay-per-view on Amazon, or they can go to any of their video stores if they don't have them in stock. They'll order it for you. But the best place to get it is Amazon.com.
Yeah. Well, but we're going to be putting it up on our site soon too, where people can get it from our site, and you know, because I think people should really get it. And I'm having a weird thing happen lately. I've been getting a lot of requests for my music, which is, I don't want to say odd, but you know, it's been a long time since that rock and roll, pardon the pun, but people will be able to get our stuff soon too. We're also going to have a box soon where you guys can send us any type of correspondence. I've been getting a lot of requests for people asking me to review their music, and unfortunately, I hate to say this, but I have to charge you to do it. I have to pay for my time, guys. I'm so sorry. So when we do that, I will review your music. We'll talk about it on the show, but I have to charge you $10 per song because it's just it takes a lot of time to do that with everything else we have going on. So when we announce that, that's going to happen. So, but yeah, no, soon we're going to have John's movies up there, and maybe my music, since people are asking where they can get it these days, and I haven't put anything out. The only thing I have out right now is my tribute song to 9/11, which is on iTunes, Spotify, blah, 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 Apple, wherever, you know. But everything else I took down years ago. But we have actual hard copy CDs, so if you wanted an actual CD, we're going to see if we can get it available streamed if you wanted to do that. So I don't know. Nothing with Caroline yet, right?
No, she hasn't called in. Maybe she can't get through it. I know it's probably difficult if she's trying to get through on a cell phone to call, you know, to another country. It may be a little difficult.
Well, I think that could be my problem because I'm trying her from a cell, so that could be my issue.
Yeah, and you probably won't get through.
That could be
and
my issue.
Probably like, it could be like, you know, $100 an hour.
Well, I don't
know. They charge,
let,
so.
Let me try her one more. You know what? I was going to say, let me go get the landline and see. Can you chat up people for a minute, Johnny?
Yeah, I guess we could. We could do that. But, we'll try.
Let me see if
but
I have somebody bring me the phone, okay?
Okay,
hang on,
cool.
Hang on 2 seconds. So, be there in a minute.
Yeah, what we'll do in the future too on the show is we have a lot of friends in the B movie industry that want to come on and talk to us, and a lot of the people who starred in my movie they may not be big names to your average horror fan, but there's cults of people all over the world that follow these people, and they're usually at these Comic Cons, Monster Mania, Chiller Theater Convention, and they're always there at the tables. You can meet them in person. I think there's one in April coming up at Monster Mania or Chiller. It's a pretty big show, and you guys go there, meet these people. They're selling the movies. They have other movies that they're in, and they're also, if you search their name, you can see the other movies on Amazon.com that these people are in. So they're pretty famous, but, in a different cult of
thank
people.
Thank you, Robin. I appreciate you getting me the phone. Thank you so much.
Oh,
okay.
Cool.
1 second. Okay, Johnny boy. You there?
You're going to try calling? I'm here. You're going to try calling Caroline?
Yeah, let's try calling. If we can't get her, we'll cut the show short. Hang on 1 second. If I can't get her now, then that's it.
Okay, we'll see what happens.
Hold on.
But this is live radio,
Yep,
so we're trying to call Spain.
And it says it's busy. Hang on a moment.
Yeah. You might have to dial 1, I think, beforehand.
Yeah, I did.
Spain. I wonder what the weather is in Spain.
Oh, it's probably gorge. I don't know. Trying like hell. Try one more time.
We tried. We could ask her to call in when she's in the States. And maybe we can get through to her then. But it's always hard to have people in different time zones.
Can't get through. Unfortunately.
No deal.
Now, well, Caroline, if you're listening, we're very sorry. And all Caroline's fans, we're very sorry. We have to rearrange this again because this will be the third time we have to reschedule because Caroline was kind enough to come back to us because I had to cancel her. Was that last weekend, John? I don't remember.
Maybe we could record her, call her and record it and then post it.
Then play
that
it.
Might
yeah,
work.
We'll have to do that. But listen, folks, we're very sorry that this didn't happen today. Kind of probably for the best for me, but if you know what I mean. So anyway, thank you all for listening. We will not be on the air tonight because we were doing today's show, and we apologize that we couldn't get through to Caroline. And also, let me just see if she shot us a message real quick, John. Do you mind before we hang up?
Sure, go ahead. Go check and see what happened.
Let's see if she did send a message, we'll be able to get back to her.
We'll see nothing come.
You know, I keep sending her messages. I'm getting nothing back, so whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, we want to thank our sponsors, The Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey. If you're on the East Coast, you got to check them out. They're really, really good. Did I tell you, John, I had the best filet mignon taco from there? Oh, my God. It was to die for. It was delicious. And KWV Wines, who I need to talk to very soon. Their wine is delicious, absolutely delicious.
Oh, wait, hold on. Hold on 1 second, Joanne. Someone's on the thing. Let me see who this is, okay? Keep talking.
Well, let's hope it's Caroline, folks. I'd really hate to not do the show with her. We've been trying to get her on. And, I really don't want to not have her on.
I'm
going to
put you through. Okay.
All right.
Joanne, guess who's on the phone? Caroline.
Yay. Oh, bloody hell, Caroline. I didn't think we were ever going to get to you today on the telly.
I don't know why I wasn't getting the call. I thought, well, I'll listen in and just see if you're having a problem. And lo and behold, you were. So I thought I'd give you a ring.
Yeah, I've been calling and calling. It's just not working. I don't understand why. But, ladies and gentlemen.
Maybe the code. It may be the code is wrong or something.
Well,
because
when
anyway, we're talking now.
Yes, thank
God. Are you off the air now? Are you still on
air? No, we're live.
No.
We're live.
Oh, right. Oh, well. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Welcome, Caroline Ellis, to Applause Radio Show. Caroline played Joy in the show The Bugaloos. I'm sure we all remember it. It was one of Sid and Marty Krofft's genius shows that they've had. They've had so many. We mentioned them earlier, Caroline. I was curious now. I mentioned all these shows that were on Saturday, H.R. Puff and Stuff, Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, Land of the Lost, Lost Saucer. Were you friends with these people when you were how old were you when you were on the show?
I was 19.
Really? You look so much younger. You look like you were 14.
Yeah. Well, 19 going on 14. I had my 20th birthday while we were over there. And it was lovely because the Cross treated us to a weekend in Palm Springs. So that was a treat.
Well, I don't think many people knew that the Bugaloos were supposed to be like a take of the Monkees, but a British version, right?
Sort of. In a way, yes. But, of course, the Monkees were a pop group with a television series, whereas the Sid and Marty Krofft, as you know, had been doing television series. So
right.
It was more of a television series with music. But, of course, I think they hadn't really originally had the idea of doing a pop group, I don't believe. But, of course, things changed because, obviously, with the success of the show and then the music and the album and all the rest of it. So, you know, they could have done more, obviously, to make us more into a pop group. But, of course, I think they were appealing it first of all, for the younger
right.
people.
But
what happened was a lot of adults, you know, thought it was a bit, how should we say, you know, people that were sort of on stimulants, shall we put it that way, thought it,
I think
thought
they,
it was way
they,
out.
Yeah, they used to think that Sid and Marty Krofft were high when they created that show, didn't they?
Well, yeah, who knows? I mean, Sid Krofft was the creator. You know, he was the one with the ideas. And I never saw any of them, you know, in that way. I'm happy to say I don't think that would have gone down too well. But who knows?
I mean,
people used to like saying that. I don't know if it was true or not, but he had a fantastic imagination.
I was just going to say, I mean, it is just a crazy storyline where, how he came up with the whole storyline. I mean, the place you live, the names and everything that he came up with.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Just amazing the imagination he had. I was just going to say the same thing. So now, did you guys actually do your own singing or no?
Yes. Yeah, we did our own singing. We did. It was very, it was quite stressful because before we came over to Hollywood, obviously we weren't given any of the songs or any of the music or anything until we got there. And when we got there, we were sort of put head first into doing the television series. But of course, we hadn't recorded the songs then. So while we were doing the TV series, we were filming parts where the songs weren't part of the filming on the schedule. That came later. And then while we were filming, then we were going to the studio at night to do the recording. So, you know, there was a lot of pressure because we were working sort of 18 hours a day. But, of course, we were all so enthralled with it and enjoying ourselves and loved it, I mean, to be perfectly honest. And let's face it, the songs were really lovely. The songs
I liked them. I did. Yeah, I liked them.
Yeah,
and one was really nice. Yeah, one actually made the Billboard charts. What was it? Forever? What was it called? Oh, God.
For a Friend.
That's it.
That's
yep.
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. They released that as the single. with Senses of Our World on the B-side, which was, you know, a solo of mine. But yeah, so it did okay. It's just a shame, really, that they didn't follow on with another one. But then, you know, things happened and things changed, and that's it. But it did okay. Did okay.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
They should have done okay. I mean, they were written by some amazing songwriters. You had Norman Gimbel and Charles Fox, and they also wrote "Killing Me Softly" with his song. They wrote a lot of theme songs for other shows. The Last American Hero. They wrote The Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley.
They had some good people working on the team. Absolutely.
It's amazing that there wasn't a hit, you know, that they, you know, it did make it. So now you started in show business at age 6 in England, like I assume.
Well, I started stage school at age 7. And the sort of school, the drama school that I went to, it was a stage school. Then you're doing commercials, you're doing other things and bits of television, obviously auditioning for television and films and whatever. So I had done a few commercials. In fact, one of my Facebook friends sent me a picture of me doing an Nescafe advert when there's a picture of it. And I must have been about 8 years old with, just awful, you know, with curly hair, which wasn't natural.
Right,
but anyway,
right.
So that made me laugh. But my first really proper professional job was on the stage at the London Palladium, where I was in a show for 6 months with, at the time, though I don't know if you know of it was hugely successful in England, a singer called Frankie Vaughan. I don't know if he ever sort of made it in America. I don't think so. And then other very popular people, comedians and other things. And that went on for 6 months. So that was really my first, what I think of as my first professional experience. And, of course, you know, that was on the stage with a live audience. We were doing 2 shows a day, 6 days a week. I was 12, so obviously you have to have a chaperone at that age. And I was really lucky. From then on, I joined the London production of The Sound of Music, playing Louisa. So that was fantastic. And for that show, of course, that's where I learned really more about doing harmonies, because that was much more difficult.
Yeah.
But it was a fantastic show to be in.
I'm sorry, you started very young, and then you retired when you had the birth of your daughter. Now, did you ever encourage her? Did she ever have any desire to be in the industry or no?
She did. Well, actually, she studied the other side, the production side.
For a while,
which she really enjoyed, she really liked, and then I saw a film. But of course, we were in Spain then. We weren't in England. We weren't in London. And Spain has a very interesting background of films now. They're getting better all the time, and television and everything. But that was now what, about 12 years ago, 13 years ago. And of course, that industry, is, as we all know, is really tough, really difficult.
Yeah.
And we weren't in Barcelona or in Madrid or anywhere like that. We were we're on an island, so much more restricted. And there are a couple of film companies here, Palmer Pictures and another one. But they're financed. One of them is financed by the local government, and they were having problems. Anyway, it never quite worked out, and she's now working for a cosmetic surgeon. They're completely different.
Well,
and absolutely loves it.
Yeah, exactly. As long as you enjoy what you're doing, you know, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
I want to ask the other guys, John McKindle, John Philpott, Wayne Larina, did they ever do anything, go on after the show musically and record or have any releases?
Yeah, well, Little John still is in the music industry in England. He's in England. And he toured around Europe and whatever in a group of his own for many, many years, up until just a few years ago. He's now doing more like a duo, a duo act, but more recording now. He's doing more recording than performing.
Right.
And Big John lives in Arizona, as you may know. And I don't think he's doing anything in the music business anymore. And Wayne was more like me, more like an actor. He did a series in England afterwards called Pipkins, which ran for a long time. And so, you know, we all went off and did our different things, but we kept in touch for a long time. I'm still in contact with Little John every now and then, and Big John on Facebook. Wayne sort of has disappeared. He stays very quiet, a bit reclusive, I think. He's a bit more reclusive.
Right.
So, I haven't spoken to Wayne for a long time.
Oh, I'm sure they're doing well. Now, you were 19. Did you know that Martha Ray was a big name at the time when you were working with her, or you just thought she was this crazy lady playing this crazy lady?
Well, we found out when we got to America. Of course, the Crofton said to us in England that she would be playing, you know, the crazy
like,
baddie.
Who the hell is that?
Yeah, sort of. Although, of course, I had seen her in the old Bob Hope movie and things like that on British television, but not really realizing who she was. But, of course, once we knew the name, then you start looking her up. Well, of course,
right.
I don't think there was internet back then.
No.
You start doing a bit of homework, and then of course it clicked. I thought, oh God, yes, I remember seeing her and such and such and such and such. But it was only when we got to America that we realized just what an enormous star she was.
Yeah.
And in fact, we all went to the Bob Hope show one evening and, you know, Bob Hope because of Martha, because she invited us and said, come along and see the show. It was only when we got to America that we realized just what a big star she was and the films that she had done and everything. But, you know, when you meet her, you would never think so, because she's so insane, you know.
She was such a lovely lady. She fit the part, that's for sure. Now, Billy Barty was like the go-to little person for that era. He like played so many little people. How was working with Billy Barty? I mean, he seemed like a great guy.
Oh, he was. He was lovely. He really was absolutely charming, and you know, good sense of humor. I think everybody in the cast had a good sense of humor. You had to with Martha Ray in the cast. The more serious one was the director, and I think he got a bit peeved off with us some of the time. But anyway,
is this true or not that Phil Collins auditioned for a role on the show?
That's right. There were quite a few well-known people auditioning, because it was just such a huge publicity thing in the English newspapers. And Phil Collins, I think Lulu was there. There was also another.
Lulu auditioned too?
Sorry. Well, funny enough, years later, I worked with Lulu. Many years later.
I love her. I've been trying to reach her to get her on the show, actually. I can't get in touch with her. But
really?
Yes.
I don't have her number. You know, I'm not in contact with her anymore.
I'm not asking. I'm just saying I would love to have her on the show.
I got on very well with her. You know, I never had any problem. And she was always very complimentary to me and everything. I worked with her for 6 months. That was at the Palladium as well. So, you know, it's I wish you luck. I hope you can get hold of her.
I do too.
So,
now the Bugaloo Buggy, where is it?
Well, apparently it's been in a British museum, for some time. But and I think somebody was trying to buy it. I don't know if it's still in England, in London, or whether it's back in the States. I think somebody was saying they're trying to buy it, but of course it's like all these things. It's if you can negotiate a decent price. But I don't know where it is now. I have no idea. I think the thing is, to bring it back to America from England, obviously the cost would be on top of the price of the sale of it.
Yeah.
And the sad thing was the Bugaloos was never actually shown in the UK. It was never shown in England.
Are you kidding?
No, it was about the only country it wasn't shown in.
That's
and
funny.
It was just so sad. It was just such a disappointment. Because the word Bugaloos, the opening song, if you remember the opening song.
I do, yeah.
Bugga, 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 bugga. It opens like that. Well, that word is very rude in England.
Oh, really?
So the TV station turned it down, which I think the Crofts were devastated by that, really disappointed.
Sure, you are being from England yourself. You would want people from home to see your show.
Well, we all thought it was going to be shown in the UK, but it never was for that one word, that one opening song.
All they had to do was edit those lines, and
they could have changed it instead of Bugaloos to Boogaloos, and that would have done it. That would have been all right. We could have re-recorded the song. You know, that wouldn't have. But anyway. You know, that was a shame. I know they put a showing of it in London and we were all invited. My agent was invited and everybody was invited and whatever. But I think that's when they were trying to sell it to the TV companies. I'm not sure. But anyway, it never happened. So that's disappointing.
I know. They were actually going to do a movie, too, based on the show, too. What happened to that?
Well, that was going to be with Columbia, but Columbia went bankrupt. That was at the time. This is going back a long, long time ago.
Yeah, 70s.
And that's when, we were preparing ourselves, you know, mentally to go back to start on the film. That was all that was being planned and everything. And then Columbia came out with the thing that they had financial problems, and then we were told it had all been cancelled. So that was not only the end of the Bugaloos film, but it was also the beginning of the end of Columbia Pictures, you know, at that time.
Yeah. Wow.
So, that's life. But it's, you know, it's such a shame not to have done another series. I mean, that was with NBC.
Mm-hmm.
That series that put it out, if you remember.
I do remember.
You must have just been tiny.
Well, what, 72? I'm born in 64. Every Saturday morning I sat in front of the TV and watched it from 7 a.m. till it went off at like 1. Shows. Because we had no Cartoon Network. That's the only time we got to see any kid shows was on Saturday.
Yeah.
It
was all morning, wasn't it?
Was it
about 1 o'clock?
Was it like that in the UK too? Because over here, that's the way
No. I mean, we had children's programs. The children's programs, I think, possibly on Saturday morning, but they were very often on at sort of 5 o'clock in the afternoon or 6 o'clock. During the weekday, I think, if I remember correctly. But, of course, in the States, it was Saturday morning. What we did have in the UK was Saturday morning cinema for children. And I can remember, that was even before the Bugaloos. I can remember going along to see films at the cinema Saturday morning, things like that. So... But in the States it was just wonderful. It was just one program after the other, all Saturday morning. Fantastic.
Right. Nice. I know. I enjoyed it. I watch, like I said, I would wake up 7 o'clock in the morning and not leave that TV till like 1 in the afternoon. I was addicted to it.
They don't do it anymore?
No, not on Saturdays, because now they have cable, and with cable, you can watch, they have one, they have the Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon, all that. So, but I heard that Sid and Marty Krofft wanted to do a reboot and have Cyndi Lauper play Benita. Is that true?
Well, they've been talking about it for about 3 or 4 years. Whether it's going to happen or not, I have no idea, because I'm not in contact with the Crofts anymore. But that's what they were saying. They wanted her to do it. I think they still are. I think that's still possibly a possibility. But, I'm not in contact with them, so I don't know. It's only what... like we all do, what we hear on the grapevine sort of thing.
Right. Well, I was actually going to ask you if you were still in contact with them, but I guess you just answered my question.
No, sadly no. Which is a shame, really. I mean, okay, they're in their 90s now. When I saw them on the Comic-Con, last year, I just saw them on the web, Comic-Con. I mean, absolutely. Well, I think it was only Marty last year, but it was both of them in 2018. I mean, fantastic. They're still going. They're still producing. They're still wanting to make things.
I know.
Which is unbelievable, which is fantastic.
I think they recently had something on Nickelodeon over here. I can't remember the name of it. Oh, geez, I saw it. Something Puff or something, not HR Puff and stuff, but something similar.
Something else.
Yeah, what's it called? Hold on 1 second. Mutton Stuff, I believe.
Oh, Mutton, yes.
Yeah, I think that's on Nickelodeon now.
Right, yeah, I think that channel does put up their programs every now and then, including the Buglers. I think the Buglers has been on a few times, off and on over the years on that channel. As well, but I think their daughter is involved with the company. They have Marty has a daughter that's involved in the company. I'm not quite sure how or in what form, but keep it in the family, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, they did so many. Oh my God, they HR Puff and stuff. They did Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. I mean, of course, the Bugaloos.
The Banana Split.
Shazam.
Banana Split.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah,
everything. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. So now, have you ever? I'm sure you've showed your daughter the copies of the show. What does she think of it?
Oh, yeah, well, when she was young, okay, she's an adult now, she used to watch them as well when she was young. I mean, it was just, like at that time, sitting there with her mouth open. She couldn't take her eyes off it. But what she couldn't understand was, she would be looking at it, and she'd look at me on the telly, and then she'd look at me in the same room. And she couldn't quite figure out what was going on.
Right. How come you're here and there? Right.
Exactly. But then, obviously, as she got older, then she knew that I was an actress, and that was one.
Right.
Now she shows it. She's shown it to her son. Well, her son is 3. My grandson, and then she's got. A granddaughter. She's not actually her daughter, but her granddaughter from her, or my granddaughter from her partner. And she's looked at it and seen it. Yeah, I mean, it's timeless, isn't it? It's just timeless,
yes, it is.
that program.
Yep,
it's fantastic for children.
Yeah. I know. Like I said, I enjoyed it. I loved it. What I want to ask you. So what were you able to... take anything from the set or the show, or anything you have, a memento that you kept from the show?
Well, if I'd known that we weren't going to go back, I would have done. But, of course, we all thought it was just a break and then we were going to go back and carry on. But I still, when we went back to Christmas to see to see our family because we haven't been back or seen our family for a long, long time.
Right.
Of course, you don't take anything with you. I didn't take my clothes with me back home.
Right.
I just took, you know, what I, because we all thought we were going back again. We were
right.
going to return. So everything remained over there. But what I did once I realized that, or once we realized that it didn't look like it was going to happen, I think it was a couple of years later, I just went back for like a holiday to see one or two friends, to collect my clothes and things
yeah.
like that, because I they were being stored somewhere, so I collected them. So I didn't get any mementos or nothing. Nothing,
wow.
because, you know, we just thought we were going to go back to carry on. So that was the end of that, which is a shame, really.
Yeah, so what do you think they did? They just broke the set down and that's it and threw it away? Or, I mean, what did they do with all the products?
Well, they had warehouses, so I have no idea. I mean, the set was just magical. It was just so fantastic, the set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the design, the fantastic. It was just mind-blowing. It was just beautiful.
Yeah. So colorful, I remember, yeah.
Yeah. And
hey, Joanne.
Big. It was really.
Yes, sir, John.
Hi.
Caroline, a friend of yours from California wants to say hi, but he doesn't want to come on the air. His name is Carl Stanifer. Do you know Carl?
Right. Hi, Carl. Yeah.
Thank
you, Carl.
He says hi.
Oh, wait, come on.
Hi, Carl.
Talk to us, Carl.
Well, Carl didn't want to come on the air.
He just wanted to say hi.
Shy.
He's a shy
guy.
Yeah. But that's a shame that nothing got kept from the set. It really is. I mean, maybe it's somewhere, you know. We had... for Christmas, we had, oh my goodness, what was her name, John, from It's a Wonderful Life. She goes around, she played Zuzu in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, and she carries on the name of It's a Wonderful Life, and she's made a career out of it, and just goes around.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if any of you guys do that, but I mean, I don't know what you
in
do these
England.
Days.
Yeah, in England it's not such a. I know in the States the conventions and carrying on, you know, doing this sort of thing just goes on and on and on. But in England, in the UK, not so much. You know, it's funny. They are one or two hugely successful programs. Do conventions every year, like Only Fools and Horses, which I appeared in. I did one of their conventions. A couple of years ago, I flew back to England for that. I was invited to do that. But they only do it once a year, and it's unusual. You know, it's strange. I think probably with time, it'll get more successful. But in the States, of course, they do everything, don't they? Conventions for
everything. Yeah, we're very nostalgic here. I think that, you know.
Yeah, which is lovely.
Yeah, everybody loves the past because, you know, they remember it was such a wonderful time in their lives. So, you know.
There's now a TV, you know, with all technology now and cable television and internet and everything. There's now a TV station, I think it's only been going, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, called Talking Pictures. And they put on all old programs from going back to the 60s, the 70s and 80s and films and things.
And
I can't get it here in Spain.
Yeah,
but
that's in the UK. They do that in the UK.
That's in the UK. So, you know, they're nostalgic in the UK as well. But the convention side of it hasn't really caught on in the same way as it has in the States.
Yeah. Yeah, her name actually was, I'm sorry, I apologize, Caroline Grimes. She played Zuzu in the movie... It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. She was on it. Like I said, she goes around and she carries on the name and she's made a career out of it and she just loves it to death. And I'm so happy for her, I mean, that she does that.
That's
and
great. Yeah.
But we have a lot of channels out here that are that do that. We've got, what is it, MeTV, Antenna TV, Cozy. They play all the sitcoms and the kids shows from way back. Yeah, and I love them. And we have Turner Classic Movies. They play all the old movies, which is great. So, and it's really a shame that these kids today don't know what they missed out on. But I don't know if they'd enjoy it as much as we did, you know, because there's so.
I wonder. Yeah, it's just so different. They're all on their mobile phones 24 hours a day now, aren't they? Or,
Exactly. Are you working on anything that's related to the show at all that you would want to share with us and let people know that they can get their hands on, like a book or anything? Or
no, I'm not. I now live on an island off mainland Spain. I've retired. I have my horses here,
nice.
Which I love. It was always one of my dreams to have one of my horses at home. So I've been here for a few years now. I mean, I fly back to England, like if I'm invited to do a convention or anything,
right.
like I did a couple of years ago. But no, I'm sort of, I'm not working as such anymore. Okay, if somebody offered me something, then I would certainly consider it. But I'm a retired bugaloo.
What made you choose Spain out of all places?
Well, it was circumstances, really. When I got pregnant with my daughter Sasha, I was married, and we decided my husband then was working in the Middle East in the oil industry, and so he was away a lot. So we always decided. I couldn't stand, to be honest, I couldn't stand the English climate. I never could before I went to live in the States. But when I went to the States and then went back to the England, then that really did it. I found it very hard, the English climate. Yeah. I can't stand it. But anyway, so we decided to get a holiday home. So went out once my daughter was born. Or while I was pregnant, we decided to have a house built as a holiday home in Spain. So
nice.
That was being built. Then once she was born, we decided to go over there and live, you know, because I wasn't going to be working. I didn't want to work for the first 3 or 4 years. And the marriage broke up, and I decided to stay. I just loved it so much.
Nice. How's the weather today?
Well, today has been clear blue, sunny skies. It's got colder. We do have seasons here, so it's
now,
got colder.
Wait. What do you consider cold? Like, I'm waiting to hear this number. Go ahead. What is cold to you?
It's our winter here. It's about 15
cold.
Degrees.
15 degrees. 1.5?
15. 1.5, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is cold. Oh, God.
Winter. It's winter here, but in the summer it can go up to 40 degrees. You know, it's very similar to California.
Yeah.
Probably a bit colder than California in the winter, obviously. And the nights can be cold, but it's still not like in England. Nothing like in England.
Yeah.
England, you know, horrible. And all that rain in England, we don't have so much rain here. We have a lot of sunshine here, like California.
Yeah. Yeah, we're having a gorgeous day on the East Coast today, too, for the middle of winter, which is shocking. Caroline, thank you so much for joining us. This was a pleasure. I enjoyed it so much. And I'm sorry for the technical difficulties we had earlier in the show. And I just have to say thank you so much. You were part of my childhood, and I appreciate you joining us. And I just love the Bugaloos, love you, and wish you nothing but the best for you and your family.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline.
You take care.
Yes, thank you so much, Caroline. You take care. Thank you.
And you. Have a good
year, 2020.
You too. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh. Well, Spain
isn't...
It wasn't as nice as we thought it was going to be today, the weather in Spain. It's colder there than it is here.
Well, I think she may be in Celsius, though, I think.
Oh, yeah, duh. What am I thinking? I'm like 15 degrees in Spain. I thought that was a little, well, listen, I'm medicated. I'm highly medicated here, so, you know.
If you were told there was 60 degrees Celsius here, she'd be saying we're burning our asses off.
Yeah, what's 15 degrees Celsius? What is it?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
I have to look it up.
Oh, don't mind me. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm highly medicated. So, but anyway, yes, no, I'm glad she got through. Thank you so much, Caroline Ellis from the Bugaloos, for joining us. I enjoyed that walk down memory lane with you. And we'd like to say thank you to our sponsors, the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey. Check them out. Delicious. And KWV Wines, delicious wines, too, and Catskill Provisions. Wednesday, we'll let you know who's coming up on Wednesday, whether we're doing a live feed or if we'll have a guest on or if we'll be on at all. So we'll see.
Joanne.
Right, John? Yes, John.
Tell me more about that filet mignon thing you had at the Hive. That sounded really good.
It was so good. It was a taco, but it was filet mignon. And when I tell you, you know, filet mignon sometimes tastes a little burnt because it's hard to cook sometimes. And this just melted in your mouth. I mean, it was this. I had four of them, believe it or not. I mean, they were small, but I had four of them. They were so good. And the guy.
Were they an appetizer or that was like the meal?
No, it was a meal. Yeah. It came with like eight tacos. And it was really, really good. It was really good. And I have to get back there, actually. The food is so good. And yes, thank you to all those guys. We appreciate your sponsorship. And we have more sponsors coming on board. We're also going to have a YouTube channel coming up. The new year, we got some great things coming up. And just stay tuned and stick by us, and we'll take care of you. Promise.
That sounds good.
All right, Johnny boy.
All right, everyone. Well, you take care, and thanks for joining us on our special midday show today, and we'll go back to normal next Sunday.
And Wednesday, yes.
Wednesday.
I'll post on Facebook who's coming up, but I'm pretty sure we may have Gloria Gaynor interview. So it looks like it's looking pretty good. So we'll go from there.
That'll be nice.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you. I appreciate it. It was lovely spending the day in bed with you.
Well, you guys take care, and we'll see you guys on Wednesday.
Yes. Thank you for listening. Applause Radio Show. Thank you, guys. Take care. Bye, Johnny.
Bye-bye.